In Ezekiel, the 13th chapter, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gap, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision, and have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, The Lord saith, I have not spoken. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And mine hand shall be upon the prophet that sees vanity and the divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daubed it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall. And a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, Where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, The wall is no more, neither they that daubed it, to wit the prophet of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her. And there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Likewise, thou daughter of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the women that sew pillars to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people, and will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? And will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread? To slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against your pillars, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly. And I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear, and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity, nor divine divination. For I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I want to go back to the board. Try again to take my time. Expound just a little bit of God's word. Now this morning I took my time, and you listened pretty good. And I'd like for you to do that tonight. I also would like for you to just bear with me so much as you can as far as the heat. I know that it's real uncomfortable out there, but really after you get to sweating, it's not that bad anyway. So what the Lord sake of Jesus died at Calvary and bore our sin and shame, we could bear just a little heat, I'm sure, to be able to understand what he would like for us to hear. I'd like to try tonight, if I can, to get into the mind of the Lord Jesus, into the anointing. Now, we don't have to get into the anointing in that we are God's anointed and we're always anointed. Whether we're here, whether we're abroad, or whatever, we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no prophet from Genesis to Revelation any greater than the men of today. There has never lived a prophet. Elijah, Moses, or no prophet, never have there lived any great king or any man, whether it be King David or whoever it was, that is equal to the men of today. There has never been any. Today we have the body of the Lord Jesus Christ itself. In times past, God has spoken unto us by the prophets. What happened this last day, spoken unto us by the body, which is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, inasmuch as it is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not the man that speaketh, but it is God that speaketh from within him. I say again that we understand that the rusty vocal organs of ours that we've tried to preach throughout the United States, that these are not very enticing to the ear. Sometimes my voice may sound a little repulsive. And Paul said we're rude in speech, though we're not rude in knowledge. And a lot of times you may not understand when I say God speaks from within his temple. But it's the same sound of my vocal organs. It's the same oral expression of my lips. But it is the mind of the Almighty God that is dictating to my heart, or the Spirit of the Almighty God that comes to my spirit and through the channel of my spirit works in my brain and projects to you his own words of expression. Amen. Therefore, judgment begins at the house of God, where, as he says, but whosoever sins ye remit, they shall be remitted. Whatever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whosoever sins ye remit shall be remitted, and whosoever sins ye retain, they shall be retained. So then, I made mention this morning that in the book of Revelation, the Bible very definitely states that the tabernacle of the Almighty God was among men. When John saw the vision and beheld the vision, he proclaimed that the tabernacle of the Almighty God was among men. And the Bible said that the beast blasphemed this tabernacle and blasphemed the name of this tabernacle. And Paul tells us in his writings that we are the tabernacle of the living God. Ye are the temples of the living God. God said, I walk in you. God in his fullness, tabernacled in the Lord Jesus Christ as a headship to the church. He was the fullness of the Godhead to the church. But today we are the fullness of the God body to the church. And the government from that head, like the woman's hair that comes down upon her shoulder, it should be upon her shoulder, as a type of that, that it comes down upon the shoulder in that the government rested upon the shoulders of the church. And the woman's hair being a type of the glory, it is resting upon the shoulders, and this day seeing that it is cut off like it is, it shows how that she has dishonored her head, as the scriptures tells us, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The church has literally dishonored Christ, and she's got her own doing. She's got her own way, her own carnality, her intellectual concept of what church ought to be and what church order ought to be, instead of following the Spirit of God, which is God's own voice or his own words. In that he sent his word and healed them, he sent his word. He resurrected them dead from the dead by the word. He created the heavens and the earth by the word. Today, his word is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever to every generation. It's unaltered. It's unchanged. And faith in that word is the same to me as it was to the prophet Elijah. It's the same to me as it will be the tribulation. The Word of God is a living Word. It's God Himself. And He brings it forth in an old expression, and whatever measure of faith that you can place in that Word, that's exactly the benefits that you can get out of it. The Jews had the Word, but the Bible said the Word not being mixed with faith did not profit them that heard it. Everybody hears the Word, for the sound goes into all the earth. The gospel must be preached to every creature. But only the elect of God will have faith and believe to the saving of their soul, or to the translating of their soul and their spirit into the marvelous kingdom of the living God. So then, it is necessary that we understand the Word of God. It is necessary that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit, or as the King James rendering gives it, the Holy Ghost, is to guide us into all truth and into all the righteousness of God, enlightening our minds that we might comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width, that nothing be hid from us, because we have an unction from the Holy One, that we should know all things. And Jesus said, what my Father has made known to me, I have made known unto you. I take it in my heart. This is my faith. Many years ago, I purposed in my heart to believe God's Word. When He said that there was an unction from the Holy One, that I should know all things, I said, God, that settles it. From now on, I know all things. I don't care what it is, I know it from now on in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now, I cannot contain within my head the things of God. You cannot contain within your head the things of God. But all of God is within Christ, which is within my heart. And if I need anything, all I've got to do is just have faith, and He'll put it right up here. He'll bring all things to my remembrance, as He teaches me. So then I believe that the body of Christ should know everything, all things, comprehend the heights, comprehend the depths, and comprehend the widths, because Jesus went into the lowest depths, into the highest heights, and He comprehended the width for us. Therefore, we have the mind of Jesus Christ, and if we have the mind of Jesus Christ, then we know the height, and we know the depth, and we know the width, and there is nothing that is hid from us. This is what's going to transform us and translate us into the kingdom of God. Because the mind of Christ knows the secrets, in that He stood on the mountain and was transfigured before the Peter and the different disciples into the rims of glory, that appearing with Moses and Elijah. I love to teach the Word of God when I've got a listening audience or somebody that's interested, because to be translated, it's going to take a knowledge. The rapture is a translation. I want to say this just before we get into our thoughts, and I'd like for you to try to listen real close. Once in a while, I make a statement for the benefit of a listener. You that might have been in the world out yonder, and you don't know anything but the teachings of the church, the first thing I'd like to say is there is no such thing as the rapture. There is no such Bible teachings as the rapture. That's the first thing to remember. Men have taught the rapture ever since I can remember, in Pentecost and different churches. There is no such teachings as the rapture nowhere in the lids of the Bible. There is no such teachings as a millennium nowhere in the Bible. It's not found. The word millennium, as some of you understand, means a thousand. And they apply the word millennium to the 1,000 years millennium. They use it as 1,000 years, save the millennium, which means 1,000 years with God in a restored earth, a restoration. Now, in the rapture, the word indicating caught away. But the Bible terminology is that we are changed from glory to glory as we behold the glory in the face of Jesus Christ, the unveiled glory, receiving in part, knowing in part, we are changed into the glorious image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are changed. When Paul speaks of what the church calls the rapture, Paul calls it a change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in Thessalonians, it is a change, but there is nothing said of a rapture. Now, where we make a mistake when we listen to the teachers that speak of a rapture, we get the idea that all we have to do is sit back, and after a while, God will just catch us away like that. That's wrong. The Bible said to save yourselves from this unward generation. That's something that you've got to do. You've got to believe to the saving of your soul and believe, the Bible said, holding on to the end. You don't cast away your faith and have great recompense and reward. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I know we like to say we're saved, but the Bible said he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. We are God's elect according to what God foreknew. And God only accepted those that he saw hold on to the end. That's the only one to relate. Is the one that he foreknew that held on to the end. There's nobody else that's saved. One thing we need to know, whether we be Baptist, Pentecost, or Methodist, or whatnot, God does not choose a group of people. Predestinate a group of people and let them live like the devil and take them to hell. There ain't no such teaching in the Bible. The Bible says if a man do righteously, then he turn and do wickedly, all of his righteousness shall not be remembered. In his sins he shall die. If that man do righteously, wickedly, and turn away from his wickedness, and do righteousness, all of his wickedness shall not be remembered. In his righteousness he shall live. God, Peter tells us in the Word, that God foreknew that we are God's elect by foreknowledge. That is, God elected us unto grace according to what he foreknew that we would be in life, what we would choose in life, the way that we would act in life, how we would respond to the hearing of the Word when he sent the Word. God foreknew us before the world ever was. The Lamb was slain. Before the world ever was, God looked down. And the Bible said all those works are done unto him from the beginning. Like Revelation records in the book of Revelation, though it has not come to pass as of yet, yet the Bible said there was a great multitude that no man could number that was before the throne. God foresaw it. God foreknew it. God knows the names. He knows every sparrow. He knows every hair that's numbered. God knows everything. He's the omnipotent, all knowledge God, the omniscience, the omnipresent God. He's the great God of eternity that knows everything from beginning to end. So then God knows if I'm going to serve him today and backslide tomorrow, if I'm going to serve him 10 years and fall away 10 years from now, he knows if I'm going to fall away 10 years from now and go 3 years and come back to him. God knows. So he predestinates us according to that which holds on to the end. The same shall be saved. Now, our predestination, Peter said in his writing, said, make your calling and election sure. I want to clarify this now. We are not saved because we repent. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Esau repented with bitter tears, but he found no place of repentance as far as God accepted him. He cried, he begged God, but he found no place of repentance. Because you do not get salvation by repenting. If people get salvation by repenting, then there's not a living human being on the face of the earth, nor has there ever been one that wouldn't have salvation. Because somewhere in his thoughts, somewhere in his life, somewhere in his doings, he's got afraid, he's got miserable, he's called on God somewhere betrayal. Because the Bible said God has fashioned all men's hearts alike. Now, that's not the way we get salvation. We get salvation by what God foreknew. We are elected unto grace. But the Lord has given us a sovereignty in that he sends the ministry. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, God was foolish to send a fivefold ministry. If nobody's going to repent, what are they doing preaching the gospel? The fivefold ministry did not come to get people to repent, to believe the gospel. That wasn't the purpose. The Bible said God set them in the church for the perfecting of the saints. By foreknowledge, God begat the saints. And he sent the fivefold ministry to perfect those saints. And Jesus said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That when we preach the gospel, the elect will come. And Jesus said, Father, I've not lost to one of them that you give me. Every one that you give me, I'll raise him up in the last day. The only one's gone is the son of perdition. So then we preach the gospel that the elect of God, which is by foreknowledge, will hear the voice, and the sheep will know his voice, and they will come to and offer repentance and acknowledge within their hearts and within their spirits that they are not guilty of the crucifixion of Christ and that they love and believe on him. Every one of them will come. Now, this is why I do not understand compromising. Why should we compromise? If God has ordained that none of them be lost, why should I compromise to get people in the church being afraid that I'm going to cause somebody to be lost? There is no way an elect of God can be lost. And there's no way that a brute beast can get into the fold of the number of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is impossible. God added to the church daily such as should be saved. All right, now, I said that the tabernacle of God was among men. Not only is the tabernacle of God among men, but the Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves in the days of Job, that Satan, or the sons of Satan, came also. When we have a church in the terrain, come on the just and the unjust, then it is a positive fact that there are sons of Satan that come and said in the congregation, daughters of Satan, come and said in the congregation to present themselves before God, because he is the father of spirits. They have to give an account to him for what they do. Now, if the tabernacle of God is among men, and you are that tabernacle tonight, then the brute beast that's made to be taken and burned, that Jude speaks of, they blaspheme the tabernacle by calling the holy rolls, saying all kind of bad things about it. The brute beast blasphemed the name of the tabernacle, which is Jesus, the worthy name by which you call. The Bible said, James tells us, do not the rich man oppress you and draw you before the mercy seat and blaspheme the worthy name by which ye are called. The name Jesus. They blaspheme the name of the tabernacle. But nevertheless, in spite of all of that, God is with us. As I have covenanted with you, so remains my spirit among you. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid, but be of a good courage, because God is with us. God is with us tonight. God is among men tonight. God is tabernacling among us. And where two or three gather together in the name Jesus, God is in the midst of us. And the angels of God are dwelling with us. And we know that God is on our side. Because if our ways please him, he makes our enemies to be at peace with us. Is that right? Be careful how that you entertain strangers. For the Bible tells us that some have entertained angels unaware. Inasmuch as you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the angels encamp round about them that love the Lord, I might be talking to you and entertaining angels unawares. They might be standing there, and I may not know about it. But if I do the right thing, God will help me. God will bless me. Look at the woman. We spoke of the disgrace of a cutting hair. The Bible tells us in that we're the tabernacle of God, that she is to have long hair. She's not to cut her hair off, because the Bible says she should have long hair because of the angels. I brought that out the other day, what Paul meant, saying that she should have long hair because of the angels. And she should have long hair, because it is her covering. The church is covered by the glory of God, which is the wedding garment, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we are covered with the glory of God. And when the covering is cut off, the Bible says it's all as if she was shaved or shorn, naked, without the covering of God. This is the covering of God that she's supposed to have. Now, there's a lot we could say about that, but that's not what I want to speak about tonight. I believe that we're living in one of the greatest times that's ever been given in the history of the world. Every prophet that ever lived on the earth, in our day, or in the days gone by, every wise man longed to be in the hour that we're in right now. They desired it but couldn't come into it. It's a great hour, a great time. What a great day. Never been a day like it.
Amen.
Here we stand tonight as the privileged people of God, the most privileged people in all the world. We have come into the age to where we can conquer death. We've come into the age to where we don't have to die. We've come into the age of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to where we can bypass the grave.
Amen.
Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed."
Yes.
We can go without dying, bypass the grave. Well, there are the people that must bypass the grave. I made the statement the other night, and I know that you won't understand it if I just brief it to you, but some of you that heard the message will understand it. I made the statement that the dead in Christ cannot come forth from the grave. It's impossible for them to be resurrected. It's impossible for them to come from the grave. It doesn't matter what the ministry says or what they preach. It doesn't matter what happens. They can't come out of the grave until the church is perfected. And when the church is perfected, the last enemy they will conquer is death. And when they conquer death, death will turn loose those that are laying in the grave. We're the ones that's got to make death turn them loose. Death came by man, so came the resurrection by man. The world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Them people that's bound to death down there, though they have eternal life by foreknowledge, they can't come out of that grave unto the sons of God perfect this thing and conquer death. And then when they conquer death, they'll turn loose and come out of the grave. And you say, how are you going to know when it's conquered? When the church is perfected, we won't have to die. If we don't have to die, that means death is conquered. Because if it wasn't conquered, it would kill us too. You say, but we're Christians. But they were Christians and death killed them. We're Christians, but death would kill us. But the mind of the Word of Life, which is the mind of Jesus Christ, is bringing forth a revelation that will conquer death.
Yeah. Amen.
You may not believe it, but it's the truth. It's happening. It's happening.
Praise the Lord.
You know what?
Hallelujah.
We say, but Brother Pike, I've heard, and it didn't happen to me, but it's not here. It's believing.
Amen.
It's believing. Some heard Elijah, but it didn't translate them, but it did Elijah. You understand what I'm saying?
the way you believe. Elisha heard Elijah, but he didn't translate him, and he had a double portion. What about that? See, it's the way you believe. Take heed how you hear. It's the way you believe. Whatever you believe for, that's what you can have. I just want to bring out a few little things here to try to refresh your memory on something this morning and to try to lead some thoughts. Kind of slow down and take my time a little. Amen. See, if I keep moving like I started in, the first thing you know, I'll be hollering at you and be preaching. So let me slow down and just kind of take my time. There's one spirit, many operations. Paul said, a preacher and a teacher. Alright. Notice this right here now. I'm going to get Brother Taylor to come up here. And along with this right here, we're going to start and we're going to put the zodiac here by name. Will you do that, Brother Taylor? Right here. Aren't you? You got it here. We'll teach from it in a few minutes. But put right here the Capricorn goat right here. We call it Capricorn the goat. Just give us just a minute now as he puts this up. We get the board up here so that we can refer back to it, and that way it helps you to understand. All right, the next year is the waterman. Aquarius, the waterman. The next one up here is Pisces, the fish. Just a few minutes. We'll get them around here and then we'll show you what we're trying to say. Pisces, the fish. Next one I hear, Aries, the lion. Some of you may not understand what we're doing here, but if you'll watch the board real close while I'm saying this, and while he's writing it, it'll put something down in your heart to where you can kind of understand when I start talking. Right here, put the bull, charge the bull. Just kind of listen as we speak here. Cancer, the crab. How many of you want to understand the revelation of the Lord?
Amen.
Leo, the Lion, Virgin. Just about three more. We'll have them down here. We'll explain to you, kind of brief some of you in what we're trying to do right here. Sagittarius. Can you see the board? Can you see what we're seeing right here?
Liberal. The scales.
Alright, now, this has got the whole thing up here in its zodiac form. Now, if we can understand this, I tell you, it'll really tell us something.
And then start right here. Start right here with December.
Alright, he's going to put the 12 months around here, beginning with December. Now, while Brother Taylor's coming, December, January, February, March, April, May, and June, July, August, September, October, November, across here. You put them all around here. While he's doing this, I want to explain a little something here. Okay, December, January, February, around here, Brother Taylor. Now, as you know, that these are divided up here in threes on either side. Now, this is the tabernacle, the holiest of holies here. And this is the inner court right here, which is called the holy place. Now, the holiest of holies is called the most holy place. So the holy place or most holy, this is the holy place right here. The holiest of holies are the most holy place. And this is the inner court here, which is called the holy place. And then the outer court. Now I'll say that over again so you be sure to get it. Remember, in the innermost court, it's called the holies of holies or the most holy. The other veil is called the inner court, which is called the holy place. While the other is called Now, you know that we've got some teaching, we've got some Bible teachings here on tape that bring all of this down from the Old Testament and explains every bit of it, brings it right down to the dimensions and everything, revelation-wise and natural-wise too. But this right here, this is likened to the zodiac, and on either side of this right here, there are seasons. Now, there are seasons because 3 months make up a season. Isn't that right? Like December, January, and February, in March, April, and May, in June, July, and August, and September, October, November. You understand what I mean? Like winter, and then spring, and then summer, and then fall. Now, I made the statement this morning that the way the astrologers do this, the way that they work this thing, is by using the zodiac here. Now, can I refresh your minds on it just a minute or two? Notice one more time. Here is the sun, and it's the central object of all life. Scientists say that if the sun quit shining, that everything would freeze over into a ball of ice. Now, the reason, because God is likened to the great light in which no man can approach. Jesus Christ alone dwells in that light. There has never been a man that could ever go to the sun, nor ever will be. For the sun is the great light under which no man can approach. Now, here the sun stands as the central object, while here we see the moon, or rather the world. And the world here, traveling around the sun, the world spinning like a top, like that. And all the time it's spinning, it's going around the sun like this. See, it's spinning and yet it's making a circle, a 360 degree circle around the sun while it's spinning. Now, while it is spinning and circling the sun, then here's the moon over here, and it also is turning and circling the earth. So that the earth and the moon is moving together, and the moon keeps circling the earth. Now, scientists get their calendar year, one whole 12 months. They get it from the fact that the earth will circle the sun one complete 360 degrees. And they call it a year. Then they get their months from the fact that the moon will circle the earth 12 times while the earth is making the one circle. So they call that months. Now, in the zodiac, the astrologers, the way they work that for signs and seasons, the Bible said God set the stars in the heavens for signs and seasons. How many believe that? The wise men knew that Jesus was born because they said we saw his star. Alright? Now, if you could study the stars in harmony with God, it wouldn't be wrong. But to study them for numerical order, you bring them under the number, under numerical or numbers, and that is wrong, because that's the way Satan is going to rule the world. So then we see the zodiac, and the earth that is rotating around here, they say that the imaginary line around the sun, the one that the earth follows, is about 8 degrees to the right and 8 degrees to the left from the very place that it circles here among the stars, which makes it 16 degrees. This earth moves in that orbit, and they call this the zodiac. This place they call the zodiac. And they take the 360 degrees and they break it up into 12 cycles and they call it your 12 houses. And they say this falls into one house and that falls into one house and so forth. Into 12 houses, which is the 12 calendar months that each one of the spaces is running 30 degrees. The 360 broke up into 12, 30 degrees. Around the sun. They call that your houses. Now they determine by that what you are, who you are, when you was born, and how long you're going to live, and what you're going to do while you're here. If you say they can't do it, I'll always show you something. Satan is a lot smarter than you give him credit to be. Alright, notice this. zodiac is divided into the 12 houses or the 12 parts. They take this in 3, 3, 3, 3 into the seasons, and that becomes the constellation of stars, the different constellations. You follow me? Wherever in that constellation that this sign appears, that's what they named. That's a little hard to understand. But that's what they named. That's where you get all of this about Capricorn is the goat, the water man, the Pisces, the fish here, Pisces. We're in the Piscean age according to astrology now. The next age will be the water man age right here. The Aquarius age. Is that right? Aquarius? Right here. In the Aquarius age, that's the next one. Because it's moving in this direction around here. Like this. The Pisces age, and then come to the Aquarius age here. So then that's the next age that we're living in. Or be living in. And we can say a lot about this, but I only want to drop some thoughts in your heart to get over what I'm trying to say spiritually. This morning I got over some of it, and I hope I can get over a little bit more of it tonight. Notice that all of these line up in harmony with the camp. Now, this same camp, in lining them up like this, if you'll run this over to the New Testament, it'll do the same thing when Christ set up the church at Pentecost. It'll do the very same thing and run out with the apostolic church and the apostles, which is the apostolic leaders. You follow me? These 12 around here, in that the sun is typical of God, these 12 calendar months, which bring in the signs around here, bring in the 12 apostles around the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, using the type the astrologer says that your life, they find out which month that you were born in, what time of the day, everything. And then they take that by numerical figure. They'll take that, they'll find out what sign it is, and then find out what planet it goes to and what is the moon to that planet. And then they'll work it out by certain angles and figure out what you are. All right, now, what I'd like for you to notice is that the 12 apostles is your 12 houses. All of your life falls into one of those houses. The 12 apostles, they are the teachings for all of the church, everything. The natural people fall into the natural houses of the natural side. But the spiritual people fall into the spiritual houses of the spiritual side. Tonight, if we understood the spiritual heavens and the spiritual stars and the spiritual seasons, where the Bible said be in season, out of season, and the spiritual things of God, we could study the spiritual stars and know just exactly what's happening. Who you are, what you are, what your purpose is, what God's doing and all of that. If we just had the time a lot of times to go into these things and to break them down like we understand. But remember, you are God's heavens. How many believe that?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
I want to try to brief this again now. And I promise you now, I'm just going to take a few minutes. That's all. But if you'll bear with me just a few minutes, I'm just going to drop a thought here and stir up your mind. Start you digging in the minds of God. You might discover some roots. I've noticed this. A lot of times they use this illustration. If you're going to get good pearl, you got to dive down deep. Real deep divers get good pearls. There's one pearl that's worth a lot of money. I quoted the price of it here a while back. I thank the man that discovered it. He went down so deep that his lungs busted. A lot of times you get into the deep things of God, you got to hold on to your seat because you'll lose your balance. But if you'll hold on, God will bring you up for a breath of fresh air. I've noticed this one thing right here. in the teachings of the tabernacle, in the type of the sons here, everyone carrying a sign, every one of them likened to an animal. When Jacob blessed them, he blessed them according to that which he believed they would be, one to be like an animal, one to be like a young lion, and so forth. All of them having their proper perspective in the mind of God. Everything in the mind of God. And the Holy Ghost shows us the things to come from the storehouse of his treasures, which is the mind of God, the mind of Jesus Christ. In the book we're writing, it's called Spiritual Conquest. We use Brother Branham and Brother Woods and Sister Woods in a comparison there to bring out an illustration of what we're saying right here that happened in his own life. But I want you to notice this now. In this, the sign right here, the zodiac sign, it goes back to these different type things here that hold the teachings or the mysteries of your life. Are you following me? Notice this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ came and hung upon Calvary, we use the term the veil was ripped. But what actually took place in the book of Revelation? We speak of the tabernacle of God being among men to tie some things in here together. What actually took place in the book of Revelation? What actually happened in the book of Revelation? The Bible said that the red dragon wrapped his tail around the third part of the stars. Now remember, we're talking about the galaxy, the zodiac. That the red dragon wrapped his tail around the third part of the stars, and the stars were cast down to the earth. Remember Daniel's vision? Daniel said he cast them down and trampled upon them. That was the beast that was to come. Is that right? He would change the times and the seasons, which you know that the Catholics did with the Gregorian calendar, with the Julian calendar. Changing it for the first calendar that we had was the zodiac. And then the next calendar, come on down, we got the Jewish calendar right on down to the Roman calendar that you got today. He changed the times and the seasons. God, the Bible said Antichrist would do that. All right? I made the statement this morning. Here is a mirror. A mirror, a woman with a foot upon the moon. Right now, emphasizing the footprints on the moon. The woman nation at the breaking of the covenant in the middle of Daniel's last week. It said the woman had her foot on the moon. She had her foot on the moon at the breaking of the covenant. Now watch these just a few minutes. At the same time, here with the red dragon that was laying before the woman who was in travail, fixing the brain for a man-child, a masterpiece in the earth. The dragon lay there, ready to devour the child as quick as he was born. All right, now, we see the woman on the moon, which is America, the woman nation. But I said this morning, where did the red dragon? Red, communist China. That's the red dragon. China always displays the dragon. Communist Russia is on one side of the moon. America is on the other side of the moon. So here the red dragon of Russia, communism, laid right in there to devour the woman. And I'll tell you what, there's so much revelation to be said on that, we just about have to write a book tonight. But just briefing a few things that you're acquainted with, here is Russia, here is the woman. The red dragon is laying in there to get the woman. Remember the moon. Now both of them is around the moon. The Bible says that this woman had upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now I made mention this morning that because America is considered the Protestant nation, she crowned herself. That is, her educational understanding is a derivative from the King James Version,
which is the teaching of the apostolic church. She is crowned with the religious move of God, which is the apostolic teachings of the church. We believe in the 12 apostles. You follow me?
Amen.
Alright. She had her foot on the moon. She was clothed with the Son, which means the righteousness of God, the Holy Spirit, being upon the woman. She's standing in grace. You follow me? The woman had the grace of God. The woman had the grace of God. Now, I want you to hear me tonight. Paul spoke of being caught up into the third heaven. I said that the law is one heaven. Now, I know that you'll dispute this and in your mind you'll go like a whirlpool. I know that. But just listen to me anyway. The law is the first heaven. Anywhere that God is, it's hell. And God was with the Jews, but he was with them in the lesser life. He gave the lesser life to rule the night. And the Jews is God's 12 hours in the night, which is the 12 tribes of Israel, which is the type of the 12 apostles of the New Testament, which are not the sons of Jacob, but the sons of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. They are the 12 daylight hours in God's day. Work whilst day, for soon the night cometh when no man can work. Now, the tribulation period is moving in. But Jesus said that it was day when he was here, because there was 12 hours in the day, Jesus said. The 12 apostles' teachings are the daylight teachings. You say, what do you mean by daylight? I mean that as long as the 12 apostolic teachings are in the earth, there will be a period of grace to the people. It is daylight, God's presence. But in that the night time, God reckoned time from evening till morning, when Adam fell into darkness, brought the evening all the way to Calvary, and then the red veil of the darkness faded away, and then the daylight came. They that be drunk and be drunken in the carnal mind in the darkness of night. Paul, turn my people from darkness, bring them to the mind of Christ, which is not the beast mind of darkness, but the daylight mind of Christ. Bring them into the light. For they that live right, they're not afraid to come to the light. But the others, being creatures of darkness, they're blinded to the light. And they won't come to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. Because they love the darkness, in that their deeds are evil. So then, we see that the 12 hours of the day is the apostolic church. That means that that is the second heavens. Notice this now. The first heavens is on this side of Calvary, which is the law. God was with the Jews. It was a lesser law within the veil. The second heaven comes on this side of Calvary, where God is with the church. It's a greater step. It's a day of grace. It's a day when Satan himself can believe and miracles will take place. It's a day when Satan's ministers can stand up behind the sacred desk and by the transforming of their minds, transform themselves into ministers of the Word, which is called light. Just by the renewing of their mind. A dispensational grace. I say this so as not to trip you. God sends us a dispensational grace, but it cannot save us, because the rain is on the just and the unjust during that time. You can live like the devil and still feel the presence of God. Somebody said, you can't do it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The Bible said the rain is on the unjust. There's murderers, there's harlots, there's drunkards. I've seen them smoke, chew, dip, lay with women, do everything else, and still get up and shout when the rain came down.
Saul meant to kill David. And he went up into the presence of the prophets with murder in his heart, but the reign of God still fell on him, and he prophesied so much they say he's among the prophets. Balaam could see the Lord Jesus with his eyes open, falling into a trance, but the Bible said he was a soothsayer and loved the wages of unrighteousness. And God had him killed for his wrong. Now, you can't place it on guilt or on sensation or what you call confirmation. You can't do it. The child is known by his doing. A tree beareth according to its nature, and by their fruits ye shall know them. Their nature will give them away. All right, notice this. That in the teachings of America, crowned the 12 stars, we find that in the days of grace that I brought out this morning, that as long as there is a grace spirit, Satan is in hell. The rain is on the bride. Satan is in heaven as long as there is grace. The devil himself can go into the presence of God. Somebody said he can't do it. In the days of Job, the Lord said, "Where have you been, Satan?" When Micah stood, God turned to a spirit and said, "Who will go?" The spirit said, "I'll go down and be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets." God said, "Go and prevail." The Father of spirits has control over all, works everything after the counsel of his own will. All right, now look. Just hold on a little bit longer now. We're going to let you go. Here is the days of grace. And in the days of grace, Satan himself, the Bible said, walks up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. God told him, said, "You walked in the midst of the stones of fire." The jewels of God, I'll remember you when I make up my jewels. Satan not only walks among the tombs, when I said the whited sepulchres of the world, but he walks among the stones of fire. Paul, I know, but who are you? He knows the sons of God. He fears the sons of God because he's subject to the sons of God. And he'll bluff the sons of God until they realize they are sons. When they come into the revelation and understand their sonship, they'll know that they've got all power of the devil. All over sickness, all over poverty, all over everything. But notice this. Satan in the days of grace, in the second heaven, still there. When the woman was on the moon, that's the second heaven. Because the world is one heaven. The next heaven is the moon. And then the next one is the sun, which is the third heaven that nobody can't get into. If the devil ever got there, it'd be defiled. He can't go into the holies of holies. You follow me? Notice this now. The beast body coming to the second place here, which was the holy place, they could bring him in here and kill him, and they could bring him to the holy place and eat him. But when he went into the holies of holies, it had to be the blood. Is that right? And that blood had to be mixed when it was poured out and these little hot coals was placed in it and the vapor come up to show the Holy Ghost, which caused the sweet smelling vapor of the mixed perfume that God put on the coals. There, the blood, the covering of the mist, which was the holy veil that stood between the priest and God, who was between the cherub on the mercy seat. If the Shekinah of glory had not come up between him, then God would smoke. But it was a type of the Holy Ghost. But when the hot coals went in and touched that perfume, then he said if anybody mixed any like it, that he would kill them, cut them off from the camp. When that come up like that, and it come up, that vapor come up, a sweet smelling savor before God, and the priest was standing over here, it come up between him and God, and the man was saved. A lot could be said about it. But notice this one thing. In the second heavens, the devil, the red dragon, stood before the woman, ready to devour. I can't let the light bring this out tonight. Just scratch a little of it. But stood before the woman to devour the child. Now look at America. She's in travail right now. Right now she's trying to bring forth a Superman, a man child, somebody that's got the answers. I'll make this statement again. Nobody can be crowned King of Kings but Jesus, unless it's the Antichrist. King of the nations means the ruler over every king. Oh, Lord over every Lord. President over every president. They're ready to crown him a king. I said that the presidency would go out, the kingship would come in. That this year, that he would show himself, and then you remember, I remind you again, the astrologers pointed out in the stars after that we made the statement and said, it is a proven fact that the star, I believe it's Uranus, has crossed over Scorpio, and this is a positive proof in the galaxy that this year a 7-year regime of Satan will start. Daniel's last week, I said Kissinger's going over making the cut, coming in by flattery. Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss. I also said that they would move this here in Atlanta, Georgia, that they would move this down to Macon, Georgia. And someday they will. They'll move the capital as far as the controlling authority from Atlanta, Georgia, down to Macon, Georgia. Right after I made that statement, you remember that Brother L. Rock come in and said, I've heard something over the radio, not knowing what we'd said, and told some of the brethren, said, you know, so they're talking about moving the capital out of Atlanta, Georgia, and moving it to Macon. What is it? It's got to go according to the mind of God, according to the words of the prophetic utterance which God has placed in the earth. It has to go that way. Now, notice this, that this year they're ready to crown Kissinger King of the Nations. Now, some of you know what I mean when I say this. Why did we go to Stone Mountain today? I'm not going to try to explain it. But why did we go to the Eastern Gates on this side and go to Stone Mountain? Why did we do that? Why did we do that? Why did we use the old saying, the South shall rise again? You remember what we said today, Brother Gary, don't you? Why is that? If you could understand spiritual things. In other words, what I'm saying is this. Satan was cast out of heaven, but the way that he was cast out was when the blood came off of the mercy seat. In the middle of the week, when the church is perfected, the mysteries of God's finished, and Brother Brown has brought that right down to close to the church ages. Then I made the statement that Brother Brown would die. That Adam would go out, take sick and die, he'd die. That the voice of healing would go out, they're clothed out, and Gordon Lindsay died. And the spoken word would come to an end and they would change over to the revelation of Jesus Christ and they'd change their books over. And then I said, Billy Graham is ready to go out, he's fixing to go out, and he went out. Now, what did all of it mean? It means that the church ages is coming to a close. The mysteries of God are coming to a finish. The last week of Daniel is beginning to set in.
Yes.
Are you following me? Yes. I know there's types and shadows. And I'm going to close this. Got a point you want to make, and I'm going to close. Now, but the woman that's on the moon, the red dragon, ready to get the man child. I said that the conflict will be between Kissinger and the Pope of Rome. Now you watch and see it come to pass. They're going to try to come together, but they'll never come together because the clay and the ten toes could not mix with the iron. And Kissinger is representing communism. He's a Russian Jew. It goes back to those 10 tribes that was lost in 721 in Assyria, where the Pope of Rome goes back to America and Jerusalem, which is Benjamin and Judah, or Joseph, the two brothers. and the Lord will be between the iron and between the clay. But the reason we went to Stone Mountain today, one of the things, what it said in the days of the 10 toes, that would be a stone that would be hewed out of the mountain,
yes,
not by hands. And that stone would grow until it filled all the earth. That's a knowledge. That's a revelation. That's the mind of God. It's got to grow until it conquers every kingdom. Everything will give away to it. Every nation will bow to it. Everything will come under the power of it. Look at Pentecost. Pentecost was a type of it. When Pentecost came, it wasn't long before Constantine had done made it the religion of the kingdom. And today we have a world of control through Protestantism, which is the Bible, teaching of the apostolic church. It's headed for the same thing. It'll go into the same thing. Pentecost will be the religion of the world, whether you want to believe it or not, it will be. That's why the Pope has started to pray for the sick.
Yes.
Old Roberts has took it from on the other side of the track and set it up, so to speak, in the White House. Billy Graham, all of these working together. It's come to where people pray for the sick, shout, dance, sing, just like Pentecostal people do. Even the Presbyterians, the full gospel businessmen, everybody gets together and speaks in tongues. I never seen nothing like it in my life. I preach for the full gospel businessmen out in Anaheim, California. And them people get in there painted up like a bunch of Jezebels. And a man will get up before them and say, come on, speak in tongues. And those people literally will start speaking in tongues. I've seen them do it. What is it? They believe they receive the Holy Ghost. They've learned that foolish virgins have learned at this cry, when the crisis is here, the oil has gone out, the midnight cries upon us. They've learned that the Holy Ghost is real, and they're saying, give us some of your oil, but it's too late. Their lamps have gone out. They've mocked it and called it holy rollers, and they can speak in tongues, run and do whatever they want to, but they can't get the Holy Ghost. God is closing the door to the Gentile church.
Yes,
He's closing. Only the elect will get it. It's closing. The midnight cries here. All right, now listen, real close. A third part of the stars fell from heaven. At the midnight cry, the cry was given, behold the bridegroom coming. Trim your lamp, go out to meet him. That was a cry from the watchmen on the walls, which is the true minister of God, called all of them was asleep. The wise was asleep. The foolish was asleep. All of the church world looks alive. Women wearing pants in the Pentecostal church. All of them asleep. The blind leading the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And the ditch is the great hope, the Bible says. But the watchman on the wall that sees the enemy coming, warning, never hold their peace, taking away the battle because it's not of the Lord. At the midnight hour, remember, right in the middle of Daniel's week, all of a sudden, the mysteries is at last finished. We've got a tape here that brings us out of what happened. The mystery is at last finished. The woman's got her foot on the moon. The church age has come to an end. The thunders are made known. Then the great man-child comes forth in the Antichrist. The great Superman with the answer to all the problems of the world. Remember, there's a spiritual adjacent. Some running in adjacent all the time. Of government going 200 years in 46, coming down in 46 of July, the last span of that 200 will be over. A new government will come in. It's overlapping now. Communism moving in right now. But out of type of all things coming. But the dragon could stay in heaven until the blood come off of the mercy seat. You follow me? When the blood in the middle of the week comes off of the mercy seat, and I say again, the reason it comes off is because the man-child goes up to rule with a rod of iron. As quick as he goes up over the tribulation period, he sits down in the throne of David in the millennium. He's called up to the throne to rule, make it Israel the head of the nations. You follow me? This man-child goes with the rod of iron, Israel coming in. Jesus, the man-child head to the natural Israel. The spiritual life of that child going up because he's been born. That's a church here. But he doesn't rule with grace anymore. Grace goes off. The blood atonement goes off. He is now ruling in judgment with the rod of iron. You follow me? When the blood goes off the mercy seat, Satan goes out. Because at Calvary, to give the reign on the just, God had to put it on the unjust. Now let's just right quick, and I'll try to combat this and come to a close. In the garden and in the antediluvian time, there was no rain that came down from heaven. The rain came from within the earth, and it watered it, Satan. Is that right? But then when man got tilted on his axis, didn't walk upright no more in the garden, God had to make all the types and the shadows follow him to give us our rightful education. So when man got tilted on his axis, what happened? The earth had to get tilted on its axis. The heavens had to get tilted on its axis. Is that right? A third part of the heavens, Revelation said, was smitten. A third part of the sun, a third part of the moon, a third part of the earth, everything tilted on its axis. You follow me? I made the statement that what John saw in the book of Revelation, when he said, I saw the mountains move out of their places, I saw the islands move out of their places. What he was seeing was the earth where the mountains had gone down into the ocean and the islands down into the ocean, that when man got upright because the mischief was finished, he was back upright before God, and in that the sun hits the earth on the side. When man comes upright, the sun will hit it right on the top because the earth will come upright. When man gets upright, gets perfected, then his whole environment comes back up, and when it does that, the sun hits it just right to do away with the briars and bring in a millennium earth. That's going to be a fertile ground that comes up out of the ocean. And John said when it swung up like this, that the islands moved out of their place, and there was earthquakes. All kinds of things took place. And a third part of the stars fell out of heaven. Now what was that? That was reflectors.
Hallelujah.
That was reflectors. Satan tied his tail around the third part of the stars. And he said, why the tail? Because the knowledge of the head starts over young in the garden with the beast coming on down, personifies itself at the end of the trail. When the whole earth comes back up and the islands move out of the water, and all of these things take place. John saw this great thing take place. Urshan in the millennium, change of the entire earth. You follow what I'm saying now? The Lord coming up from within the earth. When man fell away, God, to keep the good alive, had to keep the bad alive. Because he lost his inward connection with God. And that's why he had to rain down the Spirit on the just and the unjust by grace coming in at Calvary. That was to keep the good alive until it could get back into the heart of man, then cut off the wicked. Because he's angry with the wicked every day. So then Satan got in through grace. To give grace to God's people, he had to also give a dispensational grace to the wicked. But the grace unto salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching them that denying worldly lust and ungodliness, they should live soberly and righteously in this world, the present world.
Yes.
That's the grace of the salvation. But this dispensational grace will soon be over. The wicked will die. But those that receive salvation grace will live. So then the conclusion of it is that the earth coming upright, the stars will fall out of heaven. The reflectors in the church are a bunch of reflectors. They get the Spirit on them. They're the unjust. They reflect your blessings. But they don't have the Spirit of God in here. They can walk out of your presence and talk about you like you was a dog. They can take you apart. They can spit on you. They can make all manner of fun of you because they're all the devil. They're not born of God. They come into the presence of God. But the man on the inside has got the nature of Jesus Christ. And if he does one little thing wrong, his heart will condemn him. David said, forgive me for the thoughts and intents of my heart. Speak evil of no man, the Bible says. No man. Especially do good to them that'll be in the household of faith. Esteem them worthy of double honor because they labor in the Lord. But the devil was excommunicated. When the blood goes off of the mercy seat, Satan can no longer be in the presence of God. His following can no longer be in the presence of God. That is the closing of the Gentile dispensation. The Gentile days is over. When the blood comes off, the man-child goes up, Satan goes out, and at that time, he must personify himself in an individual. And he will do it. Notice this now. I'm trying to close. There's so much I'd like to say, but you listen real good, and I'm going to close. At Calvary, going back to the opening of the sixth seal now, bring us back together. At Calvary, the stars fell from heaven. The wind blew. Heaven opened like a scroll. The ark of his testimony was seen. My, there would be so much to go into in the mind of God. It opened like a scroll. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And I told you, whenever you see a storm, hot, dry, cold clouds coming together, the friction's of lightning, that this indicates war between Michael and the angel and Satan being cast out. That's what a storm indicates. We could go into that, but we've got a tape on here somewhere. That goes back to the thunders. But notice this one thing. In the casting out of Satan, which was at Calvary, it is not recognized or comprehended, or the church doesn't get the benefit of it until the church ages is over and the ministers have preached the fullness of the mystery to them of what happened at Calvary, and then all of a sudden they grasp the mind of Christ, grasp the benefits of God, and everything is given into the hand because the child has been born. Then Satan is cast out of heaven. Oh, how I would love to be able to go into tonight. But I promise you, it's going to stop. Satan is cast out of heaven. The personification, the accuser of the brethren of God, the man-child is there. Israel, the head of the nations. The earth set it right again, the right government being here. Satan personifies himself for the tribulation period. He goes into a man. He personifies himself and makes himself king of the nations, king of the world. Because that's what Satan will do. But at that time, the third part of the stars will fall from heaven. I'll bring that out one night if the Lord will help me. What it means, a third part of the stars will fall from heaven. John said the stars shall fall from heaven. They shall not give their light. What a message. What a sermon to get into what he said there and what it has to do with the church. I want you to stand with me. Now tonight, we've had a good reveal on some of the things that we brought out this morning. If there was questions in your mind, it ought to be clearer tonight. A lot of things that we can't go to because it would just wear you out. But anyway, some of the things that we've said, I'm sure will help you. And as you go on into the enlightenment of the mind of the Lord, and you do have the mind of God, all the mysteries will be unveiled. There won't be nothing in there that you can't understand. He'll make you understand everything in there. You have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. I want us to sing a little chorus together. We sang this little chorus this morning. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry.
heart humble cry.
Time, I'd like for us to gather around the altar just for a few minutes tonight, will you? Just for a few minutes. If you have to go, it's all right, I understand. But just for a few minutes, I won't keep you, but just for a few minutes. While we sing, bless everybody just for a few minutes, will you? If you've never given the Lord Jesus a chance at your heart and at your life, give Him just a little chance tonight, will you? Will you give Him just a little opportunity tonight? You say, I'm not a Christian, Brother Pike, but the Bible tells us to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Whether you're a Christian or not, you've got the breath of life. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Hezekiah gave just a little time to God. God added 15 years to his life. Maybe you're not a Christian, but give him just a little bit of time. Life is but a few days and full of trouble. And Solomon said it's swifter than a shuttle. It's like a vapor. It appeareth for a while and then it vanisheth away. I was just thinking the other day as I look back. Dad's gone. My brother Charles is gone. Soon my other loved ones, they'll be drifting on by. I thought, Lord, it seemed so quick, so short. You just don't hardly know what's taking place. It all happened so quick. And I heard him singing the song today, I'll Stroll Over Heaven With You. Remember they sang it at Dad's funeral. And today, while they were singing it, I heard them, and something just got a hold of me. And all of a sudden, it seemed like I was just in another realm, another world. And there I was, actually strolling over heaven with my loved ones. Some of you have got loved ones that's already over there. Sister Cook lost a darling little grandbaby just a few days ago. No question as to where it went. For Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of God. Let's sing that again. And let's think just for a few minutes. Just close your eyes. And let's sing it one more time, can we? Oh, Savior. Hey.
Oh.